This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Now, one of the reasons the extreme Christian lobby have been so against marriage equality is the fear that churches will be forced to perform gay marriages against their will. So independent Tasmanian MP Andrew Wilkie decided to provide them with some reassurance and smooth the path to equality for us. Okay, well, marriage equality advocates have welcomed a proposed motion from federal independent MP Andrew Wilkie aimed at reassuring concerned Christians that religious celebrants will not be forced to perform same-sex marriages, should they ever be allowed. Joining me on the line now is Andrew Wilkie. Good afternoon, Andrew.
Good afternoon.
Now, did your motion get up?
No, at this stage, all that has happened is that I've formally given notice of the motion, which means it's now in the queue to be debated and voted on early next year.
Right. Now, what prompted you to make this move?
Well, a number of things. In my mind, and by the way, I'm very strongly in favour of marriage equality, but I see it as a legislative issue, and I see the current Marriage Act as containing legislated discrimination by not allowing same-sex couples to marry.
Right.
I see that as quite a separate issue to the rights of churches and you know, the different religions. And I thought, if we can get the Parliament to express the view that's in my motion, that any change to the Marriage Act should not obligate or must not obligate churches to marry anyone they don't want to marry, I think it makes that distinction between the two issues clearer. Perhaps it will put some of the churches at ease and create the circumstances in which Julia Gillard can allow a conscience vote, but Tony Abbott can allow the members of the opposition to follow their consciences, which at this stage he's saying he won't allow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also seek to deal with those concerns within some churches. And I'm very respectful of those concerns.
Yes, it hasn't actually worked with what you might call the fringe elements, like the Australian Christian Lobby and Bill Muhlenberg and so forth. They've said, well, you can't believe it. In every other country where same-sex marriage has been legalised, eventually churches are getting forced into doing it. What do you say to people like that?
Well, I think we can create legislation that will protect the rights of the churches. The example that I've heard in recent days is the example of in the United Kingdom. But of course, in the United Kingdom, the church is part of the state, effectively. Whereas in Australia, there is a clear distinction between the state and the church. So I think we can create legislation that will enshrine the right of the churches. You know, they are private institutions. They should be allowed to marry whoever they choose. And there are circumstances where these sorts of rights can be maintained. For example, women-only gyms, you know, men have contested that and sought to gain membership, but the courts have said no, there are some circumstances in which the rights of these institutions should be maintained.
Yes, and in fact the Catholic Church maintains a set of standards of its own. I think they still refuse to marry divorced persons, for example, don't they?
I think so, yeah. And you know, people don't challenge that. I mean, I would hope that, you know, if we can get the Marriage Act changed, that people would, you know, that including the strong marriage equality camp, myself included, you know, we would maintain that respect for the church.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about conscience votes. You mentioned it yourself a little earlier. We're starting to hear people on the Liberal side talking about conscience votes as well. Malcolm Turnbull said he thought it was probably a good idea. Barnaby Joyce seemed to be open to the idea. Do you think that we will get a conscience vote on the Liberal side eventually?
Oh, Doug, who knows? I hope so. I mean, I'm mightily heartened that the Prime Minister has indicated an interest in a conscience vote, although, you know, it's easy for her at the moment that if the opposition are not allowed to follow their conscience, then the numbers are simply not there.
Yes.
The vote will be put, it'll go down, and Julia Gillard can say she's tried to do the right thing. But, frankly, it's not the right thing unless the opposition are allowed to follow their conscience, and it's only then that I think the numbers could well be there to amend the Marriage Act.
Yeah. My personal feeling is that to go to a conscience vote in the present state of Parliament and in under the present conditions, i.e. the Liberals not having a conscience vote, it would fail, as you say. And to my mind, that would erect an enormous blockade, because everyone will turn around and say, well, you know, we tried, we got this far, you lost, suck it up, end of story. Other people say, no, it'll be a stepping stone and it'll get us that little bit nearer. How do you see it?
Look, I see the sense in both sides of the argument. I think on balance, I'd prefer to go to the conscience vote. It's one more little step in the right direction. And as it builds to the vote itself, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Tony Abbott to back down and to allow his members to follow their conscience. And it's a sort of issue where I'd expect to see some members of the opposition, at least, to cross the floor. I take your point, though. It could be counterproductive. It could put the fight back. But I think on balance, it's worth giving it a go.
I think it's also worth pointing out that, unlike in the Labour Party, that the notion of a conscience vote is not enforced quite so strictly on the Liberal side of the House, is it? There is a long tradition of them crossing the floor anyway, regardless.
That's right. And I think that would be a very powerful signal. A very powerful sign if some members of the opposition were to cross the floor or even to at least abstain. I do think it's a step in the right direction, and every little thing like that, it adds to the pressure for an eventual change to the Marriage Act. I mean, there's no doubt the Marriage Act will change. It is legislated discrimination. It's self-evident that it will change. It's just a question when.
Yes, and I think that's probably what's behind a lot of this pressure, because there's a very strong feeling, I think, in the community that we have to get this done now. We're facing the prospect, very real prospect, I think, of Tony Abbott as a Prime Minister come the next election, and that would definitely put it off the agenda for quite some time to come, wouldn't it?
Yes, although, interestingly, if I could join a couple of dots, which you probably weren't expecting me to join in this program.
Fine. We like this.
We like this. The development with the Speaker, Harry Jenkins, stepping down, Peter Slipper taking up the role. The government now has a two-seat buffer that makes it a much more robust government. It allows it to, it gives it a greater chance to implement its legislative agenda. It makes it almost certain the Parliament will last another 2 years. And if the Parliament does last another 2 years, if Gillard does go full term, I think she could win the next election.
And how do you fancy your chances? Your power has been a bit diminished by this development, hasn't it?
It has been diminished to some degree, but less than what some people think. The Prime Minister has made a personal commitment to me that they will continue working on the reforms. She knows they're popular. She doesn't want to be seen as someone who tears up a deal. She wants to be seen as a person of a word, and particularly when they're popular reforms. And the government can't afford to burn me, because, you know, they're only a by-election away from being back to a one-seat margin. There's any number of reasons why they need me on side. For example, the private health insurance means test, the only way she'll get that through the Parliament is with my support.
One last thing before I let you go, Andrew. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of pressure coming from our community, the gay and lesbian community, over the next couple of weeks, and particularly around the Labour Party conference that's coming up. What message would you send to the people who are campaigning for marriage equality from our community? What's the best thing we can do to push the agenda forward? Is it writing to MPs? Is it demonstrating on the streets? What's the best tactic here?
It's all of those things. It's for us all to continue to do whatever we can within our own worlds to push for this, because it will happen, and we've got to keep the pressure up. But always, to take a sensible line, looking for ways to show respect. I think it's important to be seen to show respect for the other point of view, because otherwise people just get their backs up and it makes the fight harder. Show respect for the other point of view and look for ways to demonstrate that respect. For example, me and this motion, to say that if there is a change to the Marriage Act, that should in no way put an obligation on churches to marry people they don't want to, and try and separate it into the fact this is legislated discrimination. It's a legal problem. Let's just change the Marriage Act, but let's show respect for the other point of view as well.
Yeah, because I think that's the confusion arises, because marriage is two things, isn't it? It's the state version, it's the legal version, if you like, and then it's also the religious view of marriage, which is quite a separate issue, and people tend to confuse the two.
And interestingly, in other countries, it is a strictly legal bureaucratic procedure. You know, you go to some office.
Yeah, as in France.
As in France. And in fact, my nephew was married in Japan a couple of years ago, and he and his now wife, they had to front up to some government office somewhere, and they never went anywhere near a church. I mean, heavens, I got my second marriage. I got married in a vineyard.
Oh, I hope that wasn't an omen for the future. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Andrew.
Thank you, Doug. Cheers, Doug.
Cheers. And that was independent Tasmanian MP Andrew Wilkie. Now, Midsummer launched this week, and a nice, smooth affair it was. Not so the launch of Mardi Gras in Sydney. Some of us, me included, were not so happy with the words gay and lesbian being dropped from the title. But my next guest, Triple J presenter and gay youth ambassador Brendan McLean, thinks it's a good idea. You'll hear from him in a moment.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.